All right, this morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 106, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2. Title of our message this morning is Being Thankful in Difficult Times. Now, let me tell you this, I'm thankful for Andrew Tibbs and his willingness to step in over the last couple of weeks. And the first week, he had several day lead notice. The last week, I kept thinking that I was going to pull it off and be here, and so it was more of a last-minute call for him to come last Sunday, but we participated and watched online, and he did a tremendous job. So I want to thank Andrew and his willingness to step forward and do that, and I'll just tell you, I'll thank our whole church staff, too. This has been a crazy couple of weeks, as you can imagine, and they have not missed a beat. They have kept the church moving and kept me informed as much as I needed to be, and then made decisions when they needed to make decisions. So I am thankful this morning for all of those things. Well, in the season of Thanksgiving, it is important for us to be reminded of some of the things that we should be thankful for. And this morning, as we look in this passage, I want us to draw our attention to the fact that in verse 1 and 2, what God is leading the nation to do is to truly understand what it means to be thankful. Now, I know Thanksgiving is already passed. It happened on Thursday, and normally I would have preached this the Sunday before, but I wasn't here. And so I wanted to have my Thanksgiving sermon this morning. And as we think about Thanksgiving, I know we realize that it is not a religious holiday. I mean, it's not like Christmas or Easter or any of the others that we sometimes celebrate. Thanksgiving is really an American holiday. It's a cultural holiday. But that doesn't mean that for believers, it's not important for us to seize it and make it a religious holiday. And that's why I think during Thanksgiving, it's always important, and maybe you did this on Thursday, maybe you'll do it today when you eat leftovers, but whenever you do it, it is important for us to sort of look at Thanksgiving and what it means, but look at it through the lens of what the Bible teaches us, that God is who we need to be thankful to. God has provided so much, and even in the midst of the craziness that we've gone through this year, and the title of this message speaks to that, being thankful in difficult times. I mean, it's been a difficult year, to say the least. But in the midst of that, there is still so much for us to be thankful for. And as we look at this psalm this morning, we're only going to look at two verses. And your homework this week could be to go back to Psalm 105, read all the way through 110, and what you find is really a whole segment of writing that is taking the history of the Old Testament with the nation of Israel particular and comparing it to how we need to make sure that we're in a right relationship with God. And part of that is being thankful. And truly being thankful for what God has done and is doing. So let's pray, then we'll read together, and then we're going to come back and we're going to look at three lessons this morning of being thankful and what that means for you and I. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning, again, just for the opportunity that we have to gather like this, to be able, Lord, to worship and to spend time in fellowship, and even prior to that in our Bible study time, Sunday school time, being able to learn together. And now as we turn, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us, Father, to see from these two verses truly all of the things that you've blessed us with. Even sometimes when we may not see those blessings or even understand those blessings, God, they are still there. And I pray right now that you would help us to see the world and see our lives and see the events of what's going on around us and choose to see it through the lenses that you've given us as believers. And while Thanksgiving may not be a religious holiday, it is an opportunity for all believers to turn their attention towards you, God, and truly be thankful and celebrate all of the things that you've given us this year. Even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, you still have blessed us greatly as a church and as individuals, and I would even say as a nation. And so, Father, this morning we pray that. I pray for believers that you'd open our eyes and our hearts towards you. For the lost person that may be here, God, or who may be watching this on live stream or listening to this later in the week, Lord, my prayer for that lost person is that they would truly just sort of take a moment and understand that they are living in the grace of God. Even though they're not a believer, they are experiencing the love of God, even though they may not see it. And my prayer this morning, that as we look at this and examine how to be thankful and truly what to be thankful for, that you would open their hearts towards you to maybe for the first time in their life fully grasp and understand all that you're doing in their lives and in the world around us. Lord, none of us have lived a moment on this earth in the absence of your presence. You have always been here with us. And so, Father, we celebrate this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts, ask that you would bless the reading of your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Start reading with me, and I'm reading a New Living Translation this morning. And it begins in verse 1, and it says this: "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Now, we're going to sort of just do an old-fashioned exegesis of these two verses this morning. So you're going to pick up the 3 points very easily as we look at this. But give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then to reiterate it, look what he says in verse 2. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? Now, as we look at this morning, as I've said, I want to come back and look at 3 lessons. And all of these are really deposited into verse 1. Now, we're not going to spend much time in the statement that he gives us there in praising the Lord. That's almost an attention call. And that's something you're going to see throughout this whole section. If you go back and look at 105 and look all the way down to 110, as we've said, you will see reoccurringly there this statement, this charge that God is giving the people to praise the Lord. Now, I want you to think of that in terms of our title this morning, being thankful in times of uncertainty. Listen, we need to understand that with thankfulness comes very closely the next thing, and that is to praise the Lord. And sometimes we praise God and then become thankful, and other times we are thankful and then begin to praise God. But those, I believe, are intertwined. When you worship God on Sunday mornings, you are in essence thanking him for all of the blessings that he's given you. You're thanking him for the opportunity and the environment, the building, the church, the location to be able to worship and to soak in his presence and all of the different attributes that we often talk about as far as God is concerned. We are truly thankful for that. Praising him requires thankfulness. And so as you see, this first statement in verse 1 becomes essentially important. And it almost becomes sort of the foundation in which we'll look at the other 3. So the first one you'll see on the screen is this: lessons in being thankful. Number 1 is this: God is who we need to be, who we need to thank. I almost said to be thankful to, but that would work as well. But God is who we need to thank. Listen, when we look at this, it tells us in the second part of verse 1, look what it says: give thanks, not to an environment, not to a circumstance, not to other people, but to give thanks to whom? The Lord. Can't be any clearer than that. And if you are in a place as a believer or even as a lost person, uncertain of what you need to be thankful for, then my prayer for you and your prayer for yourself is to spend some time in God's presence just listing all of the things that he's blessed you with. Now, we may look at this year and think how crazy it's been, how uncertain, things have not gone the way that we wanted it to go. I saw a thing on the internet this week where somebody was giving a review like we often do on Amazon or on Walmart.com or wherever you buy your products, and they always harass you to give a review of whatever product you bought. Well, with 2020, it was there and it was a 1-star rating because it's not been a very good year. Now, I don't know how you would rate this year, but it has been an exceptionally difficult year for our country, for our churches, for believers, for non-believers. But even in the midst of that, God has still blessed us. And I've tried to remind you of that at times. God not only has blessed us with the ability to continue to worship, and even when we were closed, you think about this, and we were not allowed to physically gather and worship, we still could do that virtually. And I'm thankful that God opened those doors very quickly. In fact, I think the church this year has discovered ways to become more relevant than we might never have understood unless we had gone through this pandemic and all of the ups and downs with it. Our church's sphere of reach has enlarged itself this year. We're reaching people in ways through our live stream and other online environments that we've never thought of being able to do before. God has blessed us in those things. And in the church, I think we understand the value of gathering and having the freedoms in this country to be able to worship. And to be honest with you, many of us have taken those things for granted. We've not valued, like we should, the privilege, the opportunity to be able to gather and worship in person like this. But when it's taken away for a season, now we begin to understand the importance of it. And I've heard this from many of you. You look at church and the Sunday gathering in different ways now. It's a privilege to be here. It's an opportunity to be able to be around other people and to worship God. And though He is not just contained to this building, we know that when we come to this building, we come for the purpose of being in His presence. We should never forget that lesson. And also, I think God has spoken very loudly, not just to this church and other churches and believers particularly, but He also has spoken to this nation. And I think He is still speaking to this nation for us to understand that He wants to be the God of this country. Not just in lip service, not just on Sunday mornings, not just when it's convenient, but He wants to be the God of this country and of all that goes on in this country. And we must continue as believers to put Him in that position. God is who we need to be thankful to. Not political officials, not pastors, not governors, not anyone else. God is who we need to make sure that we are thanking for the blessings, the miracles as it mentions in verse 2. And if you don't see the miracles that are going on, then you're not opening your eyes to see that. And much as I would encourage you to pray through how God has blessed you and to give you the ability to see that, I would also say that you ought to pray that God gives you the eyes to see His miraculous works, because He's done them. He's continually to do them. And when we fail to see them, then we don't understand the blessing of them, I'm afraid. So God is who we need to thank. It can't be any clearer in verse 1 and that section 2 when He says, give thanks to the Lord. Make no mistake about that. Now the second one is this, and this is the one that sort of comes in the next part of this statement where He says, give thanks to the Lord. And then He says, for He is good. Now, we often mention the idea of God's attributes, and if you've been here long enough and have heard me preach at times, I will talk often about the goodness of God. Now, our point two, you'll see it on the screen, God is good even when we might not understand it. Now, I want you to understand the importance of that word goodness. Goodness is not defined in God's eyes the way you and I may define goodness. Goodness is what we, as I've just said, is an attribute of God. What does that mean? It's part of His character. In fact, when we begin to think about how to define goodness, okay, and we're not just talking about the surface level of being good to people or good to other folks or being a good person. Don't think of it that way. When we talk about the God-sized goodness, we're talking about something much bigger and much larger and much, much more difficult for us to comprehend. In fact, when we look at God's goodness, stay with me here, He defines what goodness is. And goodness, as we've said, is the action of God doing the things that He desires to do. It doesn't involve always us in agreement with it or accepting it perhaps or saying that, yes, that's good and that's bad. God cannot be anything but good. Now, if you're a student of the Old Testament, you understand the difficulties that that brings. Because there are times that we see in the Old Testament, and even to some degree in the New Testament, but God's actions sometimes seem not to be good. Well, that's because we're not seeing them through God's eyes. when God destroys civilizations and moves the nation of Israel, as I'm thinking here, into the promised land and all of the commands that he gives them, listen, that was part of God's goodness. And when we look at that through the human eyes, through sort of the 21st century looking back, it's difficult for us to see that that action would be defined as good, but it is. How do we know that? Because God defines goodness. And here's the point that I want to make in all of this. God doesn't need us to approve his actions or his goodness. Now, what does this mean for you and I? We may look at this pandemic and other things that have gone on this year, the difficulties, and we may ask this question, how could God allow these things? How could this be happening? Doesn't God love us? Doesn't God want good things for us? Doesn't God want to do his work in this world? And when we look at bad things, it's difficult to arrive at the conclusion that God is being good. But we are failing to see it through God's eyes. And let me pause here and say this. The only way that we begin to see the world and things the way God sees them is by spending time with him. Amen. Being in fellowship with him. Having a relationship with him. Being around other believers who are pursuing that same viewpoint. So when we begin to look at the actions of this year, I assure you of this. Whether you agree with it or not, what God is doing is part of his goodness. It's part of his plan, and thankfully it doesn't require you and I to approve it or to accept it even, or even to agree with it. God is God, and he will do what he wants to do. And when we look back on it is when we begin to see the goodness. And that's where we spend time, and we look at it through his sort of lenses as we talk about wisdom. Wisdom, in my mind, is defined this way, and this is the way my pastor always defined it growing up. Wisdom is simply this. It's the ability to see the world, events, circumstances, situations, whatever it may be. It's the ability to see it through God's eyes. And when you pray for wisdom, you are actually praying that God gives you the ability to see things the way he sees them. Now, you understand how revolutionary that is and how transformative that is. That will change everything in the way that you see things. It'll change the way that you value things. It'll change the way that you see pandemics. And setbacks and hardships and difficulties. And even in our passages, we're only looking at a small part of this. This whole section, as I've said, 105 all the way down to 110, is all about sort of taking the history of the nation and webbing it through God's grace. And it's an eye-opener for the nation to be able to see that in every step of that, God's goodness was on display. Whether they understood it or not, whether they agreed with it or not, God's goodness was on display and at work in every aspect of it. And he's doing that in your life as well. He's doing that in our nation. I mean, and we talked several weeks ago, it seems like the last time I preached. We were talking about the election and the uncertainty of all that. Listen, I can't explain why things went the way they went, but I understand that God is still sovereign and on his throne, and this may be part of God's work of goodness in preparing us for what's on the horizon. We just have to trust that. We have to believe that. And we understand that we don't have all of the pieces to fully understand it right now. But through faith and trust in God, we know he is acting out his goodness. Whether we realize it, understand it, or even agree with it, it's important for us to live that way and seek the ability to see it the way God sees it. God is good even when we might not understand it. Then finally is this, and this is the last part of verse 1, where he says and reminds us of this, his faithful love endures forever. And this third point is this, just simply that, God's love will endure forever. I want you to understand this. You can't outlove God. God's love is bigger and deeper than any of our love for one another or for him. And in our relationship with him, we are learning to love him more every single day. And it's in Romans 8:35. I'm not going to necessarily read it, but if you're taking notes, encourage you to write that down. It's where we're reminded by Paul's writings that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing will. And as we live, and I mentioned this in my beginning prayer, we have never lived a moment on this earth outside of the presence of God. We may not feel like we're in God's presence always. We may not always understand it, but we have never lived a moment where God's presence isn't in this world. Now that's significant, especially for us as believers, and it's also significant for lost people. Because in their failure to understand what Jesus did on the cross for them, they also fail to understand the depth of God's love. That love is so deep, so wide, that it has allowed them to be forgiven simply because of Jesus. And out of that, we can be redeemed. We can now live a life free of the debt of that sin. And now we can pursue, listen to this, a love relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves us more than we can ever understand. And so that love endures forever. A pandemic, an election, hardships, a job loss, none of those things will change God's love for you. And it won't change God's love for this nation, nor for this church. His love endures forever. And as we think again, as I said in my beginning part, as we talk about praising God and understanding thankfulness and the connection between those two, part of that also involves love. When we're worshiping and we're praising God, not only are we coming to the conclusion that we need to be thankful, but we also are understanding and sensing and experiencing, if you want to think of it that way, God's love for us. And in that relationship, it's difficult to be truly in the presence of God and not feel those things. And as our worship struggles sometimes and we may feel distant from the Lord, all of the things that we sort of employ to get back into a right relationship with Him all really does center on the understanding God's love for us. And that He's commanded us to love Him. But at the same time, don't miss this, He is giving us the ability to love Him more every single day. How is that? Through a relationship with Him. Through learning to live the way He wants us to live. Learning to experience that love and the thankfulness that goes with that and thanking God for all that He has done and all that He is doing. And that His love is guiding that, as we also said, guiding that goodness and the actions of God that He does around us. So as we think about this, three lessons, okay, in being thankful. And this doesn't just mean Thanksgiving, okay? It means throughout the year, God is who we need to thank, no question about that. God is good even when we might not understand it. And then third and finally, God's love will endure forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the blessing of Your word, the opportunity that we have, God, and the freedom that we have with that, to be able to gather like this, to worship and to spend time with one another, but also truly be reminded, Father, of the greatness of Your presence. And so this morning, I pray that You would help us to truly be thankful, to understand what thankfulness is, and even though we celebrate Thanksgiving once a year, that as believers, it's a daily journey for us to be thankful and to take account of all of the things that You're doing in our lives. I truly believe that sometimes believers sort of get immune to that. We develop callousness and just sort of go through the ups and downs of life and truly forget sometimes how we should be thankful to You for even the things that sometimes we perceive to be bad. They can still be good because of Your goodness. And it's a matter of how we see them. So, Father, I pray for that. I pray that You would help us as believers to have our hearts awakened toward all of the things that we can be thankful for and what that means and how we can be thankful. But this morning, I also pray, Father, for the lost person, that You would help them. And really, I believe the first thing they need to learn to be thankful for from You is what Jesus did on the cross, that You sent Your Son to die for them. And that they can be redeemed and be spared the debt of the sin weight, the guilt of that sin, and that we can be made free, set free, through a relationship with You through Jesus Christ. So we have folks here who would love to talk with them about what that means. If they're at home, then we want to encourage them to reach out to us this week so that we can talk with them what it means to truly be a believer and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning, but as we move into this time of commitment, you guide us and bless us in that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our